This is the mic check for Cat Radio Cafe.
Testing. Tune in to Cat Radio Cafe Tuesday night at 9 here on WBAI.
I'm Janet Coleman.
I'm David Dozer.
The Displaced Playwright on Tuesday, September 6th at 9 p.m. We'll be joined by veteran wine writer and James Beard Award winner Alice Firing to discuss her new memoir, To Fall in Love, Drink This.
Tuesday night at 9 here on WBAI.
Cat Radio Cafe.
Did a cat drink coffee?
They did, and then they discovered wine.
Ooh, unhand that bottle.
Yeah.
WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, streaming at WBAI.org. Up next, Night Shift with Mike Sargent and his time machine.
And you are tuned to listener-sponsored radio, WBAI 99.5 FM in New York and on the web at WBAI.org. And it's time now for Night Shift. Sergeant, and it is Labor Day 2022, and celebrating Night Shift, 30 years, 30 plus years now of Night Shift. I've been doing that throughout the year, and we've been playing old episodes. Tonight I'm going to play, or not playing old episodes, let me rephrase that, having encore presentations of past episodes, vintage Night Shift episodes. I'm going to play two eras of Night Shift. One is from the 90s. This was the period where Byron was on the show. And it's interesting, Byron was on the show and he had been away. And he had just come back. And this is 1995. Very long time ago. And then I'm going to jump ahead 13 years to 2008, where this was an episode where Chris had come back at this point, and Valley was there, and a few other surprises, a few other folks had shown up during that episode. But going back in time to 1995, back when we were on from, I think we were like 3:30 to 6 a.m. back then, and sometimes we came on earlier, sometimes we stayed later, and this is back in the 90s, a very, very long time ago, here on Night Shift. Hopefully, you'll enjoy this encore presentation.
Mike all alone with all the freaks.
Yes. All that energy all rolled into
California
one,
changed my
one
life,
bar.
Man.
Did it change your life?
Look at me.
I know. You sleep now.
I'm in live and in
sleep
living
now,
radio color.
You sleep through the show now. I see. This is don't give me that old jet lag. I don't buy it. All right, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring you up to date really fast.
Yes.
Okay, last week was 4.5
That's
hours.
That's not fast enough.
Byron, 4.5 hours. I just want you to know, 4.5 hours.
I know, I talked to you after the show.
Just me and CDs, you
yes.
know what I'm saying? And these freaks out here on the air. And
I heard it was a great show.
Well, I'm going to play a three-minute excerpt. Byron, I'm going to let you know what the show was like.
Yes.
I'll play you a three-minute excerpt featuring, you know, the usual cast of characters. We'll bring a couple people in here so they can reminisce for this 30 second moment here. This is what you call, Byron.
Yes.
This is a passage back in time.
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to take you back in time 1 week in this same time slot.
I'm ready.
When you were sleeping.
I'm ready.
While you were
dreaming.
Sleeping.
Excuse me, there's a difference. There's
this
a difference.
The background sound
sleeping
this whole show.
And dreaming.
No. All right. Okay,
I was
whatever you were doing,
then.
You were in a bed with your eyes closed, okay?
I was in a movie.
Yeah. I hear you. And he's still wearing from California these stupid rainbow mirror glasses.
Actually, I got these
like
in
a
New
fool,
York, but
you know what
it
I mean?
Is. It's I thought it was a California.
He does the show with sunglasses. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Come
you,
on.
You,
Iron, strap yourself.
You know what I mean?
It's awfully bright in here.
Yo, yeah.
Four,
exactly.
10 and
like
AM
he can't even
ski.
Read. He's looking at the mystery guest right now. Okay, 212-279-3400.
So what
and
is happening?
There are people.
Tonight?
There are people. Well, there's a lot happening. I told you, Patrick Wells is coming
yes.
at 5 o'clock. Okay, I have a list of things to tell you. I have a lot of entertainment news. I know you have your
oh, I got some wild
your,
and weird
your wild
stuff.
Wild and weirdness. Yeah, yes. We had no wild weirdness last week.
Well, I got some.
Oh, actually, we did. We did. We had the life as science fiction. I had a life as science fiction. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello, talk on us.
Take it to the bridge.
Oh, no. Jeffrey, I rejected the urge to... Okay, 212-279-3400. You're tuned to listener-sponsored radio, WBAI.
Family?
The name of this show...
Night yeah, Jeff.
Well, I don't want to say
sure
that
you
part.
You want to be part of it?
Exactly.
Yes, I am sure I'll be part
212-279-3400. But, Byron, I'm going to let you hear what happened last week.
Yeah, right.
Are you ready? Here
yes.
it is. This is,
here
this
we
is
go.
A scene from now.
A scene
all,
from last
let me,
week.
Let me premise this
right.
by saying there was this guy who kept calling at one point during the 4.5 hours. Somebody kept calling up and growling.
Oh yeah,
ooh.
The growler.
Life is science fiction.
Byron, he literally kept calling up. I hung up on him. He just growled,
like
and I don't mean like, I mean like. Top of his lungs, you know, like flesh turning red in his neck.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
You can see his veins popping. Huh?
Well, no, you could just see the flesh turning red.
Oh, okay.
Without the if you were popping. To look.
All right, okay.
This guy was growling very loudly into the phone. He kept me
yes.
called back like 6 times. And this is towards the end now when we thought he was going to stop. Find them to you.
A tin can and a string.
Practically. Hello, you're in the air. I'll take your calls right now. You pick up the phone, call now. You're not off your stand, and block the phone. Hello, you're in the air.
Bro. This is so sad. Wow.
Exactly.
4:30 in the morning.
I thought like he'd calmed down. He let it all out. Now he's gonna say something.
Wow!
You know he goes for 10 minutes. Then wow! And his revelation is
now.
His revelation is that really hurt my throat. You know. Hello, your neighbor.
Hello.
Not MGM,
hi.
My friend.
Hi. Who's this? It sounds like a shrunken asshead. Asshead like a shrunk.
struck by the thing.
He's like a foot tall.
Sounds cute.
All right, no, I'm sorry. Who is this?
This is Isla.
Isla, how are you, Isla?
I'm okay.
You're not a shrunken.
Isla, is
shrunken
okay?
Asset.
Oh, man. Hold you, Isla.
A shrunken
well,
asset.
You know, Mike, what a welcome you give.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Who are you?
Uh-huh.
What's your name?
Uh-huh.
Isla. Okay, I'm sorry, yes. Isla, so Isla, how long have you been listening to the show?
I called here before.
Yeah, did you, like, a long time, like a year ago?
Yeah, a long time ago.
Wow.
Did he say you sounded like a shrunken asshead?
No. Stop it, old Macy.
Oh,
okay, so Isla, so why are you up this late?
I just tuned in. I was doing a paper.
You've been doing a paper. So you're, what year are you in now?
Last year.
Of?
High school.
Oh, I hear you.
Oh, yeah.
So you've been listening deep through the formative years here.
Yeah.
I got you. Did your life change as a result of listening to the show?
Not much.
Oh, you didn't listen. You didn't listen enough.
You haven't affected her at all. Like,
no, you didn't.
Surprise! People's life turned to crap.
Yes, to the world.
This was last this week,
and this was real.
This was last week.
This was real.
This was happening. This is what you had me. This is what you left me to do last week. Thank you.
I love it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Night Shift.
For 5 hours.
That's, you know something?
So I have a lot to grab into the next
That was a profound 2 minutes.
Was that a profound 2 minutes?
That was a profound
Did you find profound D there?
Is this Byron, that's what happens when you leave him alone.
Thank you. Thank you.
5 hours.
Yes. Okay, so there
All
it is.
Right. All right.
All right, who else is here?
This is Astro.
Astro. You haven't beamed in a while.
You know what? I hear that Frank Sinatra's coming out with a 21 CD
disc.
21 songs on it.
Right, well, that's
so
thank
the
you.
The Vatican Library is going to be put on IBM computer, 1.5 million books.
You also hear voices. Get lost.
Stop it, Macy. He's giving us life as science
fiction. I got a segue here for science fiction. You can't make this stuff up, okay? Here we go. Tradition. Soviet cosmonauts, by the way, this was in New York Newsday, 3/23/95. Soviet cosmonauts have developed a number of odd traditions over
Sylvia
the years.
Sylvia Cosmonaut. Soviet, who is she?
Soviet.
Soviet? Didn't you think something said Soviet cosmonaut has invented some Soviet, famous Russian Soviet. Inventor?
Soviet. Well, you know, the breakup of Russia makes us kind of strange.
Where are you from?
Soviet cosmonauts have developed a number of odd traditions over the years. Workers at the Russian Space Center in Kazakhstan will tell you. One of the oddest involves cosmonaut Yuri Gagarin, who became the first human in space in 1961. Tradition says that Gagarin urinated on a tire of the truck that was to take him into the launch pad, and that ever since, every cosmonaut, man or woman, has done the same.
No.
Maybe Yuri was
What a ritualistic society.
Man,
that is life is science fiction.
I'm telling you. Now,
boy.
Now, Earth. Check this out. Coupled with that story, you should know this. This happened just... Same day.
Yeah, Byron's got really tiny pieces of paper cut out of his name. Really
City,
into this. He's like
Russia.
A freak.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
After a record 439 straight days in space, Valery Polyakov, Russia's star cosmonaut, came home yesterday looking remarkably fit. Polyushka, 52, returned from the Mir space station with two other cosmonauts. So here's a gentleman who probably peed on a tire, who came back.
I'm glad you tied it all in.
Yes. I wanted to tie you in.
It's a man who peed on a tire.
That's right.
Has flown in space.
Yes, and here they are with the guy who... It's been
only on night shift.
Yes, only on night shift. So thank you, Astro,
every Soviet
for that.
That's been in space is peeing on the tire.
Male or female.
There it is. Male or female. The females do it, too?
Yes.
I don't even want to go there.
Can you imagine the tire?
No, I don't imagine the whole procedure. I don't want to imagine. Like, I don't want to go there.
It's like touching the tree of hope in Norway. You know, you're a cop. You're going to have to go female.
I don't want to go there, Byron.
The tree of
What is he talking about? He's there, and he's out of his mind.
In Harlem. The Tree of Hope in Harlem. Bill Bojangles Robinson.
Byron.
Gave a...
No.
There was a tree that was cut down in Harlem. Bill Bojangles Robinson donated a replica tree for everyone who wants to touch the tree of good hope. So it's like you make your wishes on that tree. So when you watch Showtime at the Apollo...
Hold on now. How does this tie into this? The women,
so when you watch Showtime, peeing on the tire before they go in space.
Tell me how that ties in. You know, I'm really going with him. I'm with him. He's my buddy, you know. And, what is he talking about?
Hollywood chaser. All I can say.
Nothing on the burning mind. Then when I wake up, oh, I'm unraveling. Why is it so
What is noise?
Night Shift.
Night Shift.
Night Shift.
That's the name of the show.
Even Prince likes it.
All right. Even Friends what?
Prince likes it.
Oh, yeah. Hello, you're in the air.
Hello there, Night Shift.
Yeah, who's this?
Yo.
This is Hipólito from El Barrio.
Hipólito from the what?
El Barrio.
Yeah. El Barrio. Okay. What's your story?
In other words, El Ghetto.
That's Mr. El Barrio.
I got that part, Edwin.
Just your local translator. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah,
all right. So what's your story?
I was reading here about the Bewitched or the Miserable.
The Bewicked?
The Boga.
What?
Whoa, man! That's what I call an accent. This is going to be a hell of a night. I didn't
Byron,
the elders are the ones.
What is he talking about? You're over there.
He goes to Byron to hang it out.
Exactly.
I'm not
the only one.
All right, I thought you were the translator.
All
right, how about the local translator, Edwin?
Okay.
What about you?
Yes. What are the Romulans saying?
Satan, stop it.
Yeah.
You want
to hear about the...
Okay, yes, I do. I want to know what you're talking about.
Humphrey Bogart?
Oh, yeah.
Bogart.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Humphrey Bogart?
What's his first... No. Like, what's his first name? What's his first name, guy?
Humphrey. My first name?
No. Who are you talking about? Bogart? Who?
This is Mr. El Barrio to you.
The ritual of Humphrey Bogart, the plant.
Oh, the ritual is... Oh, okay, geez. Okay.
I was ready to quote Casablanca.
All right, go ahead. Talk to me.
It says that the first vision consists of hazy, incoherent, disordered images of the void religious significance.
Well, that's your problem.
No, hold on. It sounds like Night Shift.
There was a discussion about Iboga about a month ago, and I attended it, and it seemed like everyone overlooked the spiritual ritual with the plant.
I didn't overlook it.
And they were more interested in getting the extract.
Oh.
That's okay. Interesting. That's interesting.
See, right. That is life is like science fiction.
That is life
fiction.
Is like science fiction.
I know where he's going.
Yes.
Thank
the focus
you.
Of the
Thank
culture.
Thank you, Mr. Barrio. That was.
Thank you. That was good.
That was informative.
The Europeans finally got that. Now, was
before the night's over, I'm peeing on acid.
Oh, stop. Oh, man.
Yo, Mike.
Night Shift.
Talk to him, Daddy.
Night Shift.
Had no one to sing last week.
Night Shift.
Except I played that song. Did I play that song you once I did called I Don't Love You Anymore?
Night Shift.
Oh, yeah?
Well, maybe I haven't. I've never been one. We're friends.
Yeah, you gotta sing when you play some music. Come on. Maybe you blow
my mind. Night Shift.
Funky
groove here.
Okay. Hello, you're in the air.
With superficial benefits by serving the...
You're talking about Medicaid. Oh, man.
What, does he get a list?
North American flag. But they crucify us for being Boricua. Afro-Boricua at that.
Is this El Barrio still speaking to us?
Yeah, man. Okay. Who the hell else, Byron?
We speak of American pride.
Yo, senor.
It's amazing. These people have things to say.
Slow down, they mean me, too. Come back to us.
Oh, come on, Byron.
Senor El Barrio, hold
this
on.
Is how you were.
Slow down.
This first 2 months.
You guys bugging out, right?
No, we're not bugging out. You're bugging out. You're bugging us out.
Yo.
He's asking him, where's the name?
Brian, you're funny.
Night shift.
Hey, man. Byron is a funny man. Let's see. Hello, you're on the air.
Yes. Hi. This is Sharon.
Hello, Sharon.
Hey, Byron. I'm glad you're back.
Oh, thank you, Sharon. I am, too.
He's back and he's black.
With the growler.
It was a growl affair.
You wait a minute. The growler was at your house?
This is a great show today.
You like the show?
Great show. For two reasons.
Okay, why?
One, my boyfriend's on his way to California soon.
Why are you so happy that he's on his way to California? What's that all about?
Well, it's just good that
ask her something, Mike.
Travel broadens the mind.
Oh, I hear you.
Amen.
You commend his broadening. I hear you. Okay, so, and what's the second reason why it's a good read?
So you're playing Prince. In fact, one of my favorite songs, Things, but I like the other version.
Oh, you like, what other version is that?
There's another version where I don't know how it goes. I can't really
Why don't you think about it? Think about it.
But there's another version out there. I'm sure you'll be able to find it, Mike.
So maybe I'll find it. Messiah and the collector, did you say?
Yeah.
Messiah and collector of freaks.
I am not a freak.
No, of course not. No, I didn't mean to insinuate that you were.
I didn't mean to insinuate that you were.
For the Messiah of freaks. Are you a pleasure?
Not a pleasure unit. Oh, Macy. Remember, she's not a freak.
Right here on that ship.
Oh.
We'll have a stroke of my barrage.
you realize the gravity of your situation. You sing it. The words aren't important. What's important is that you have a good time singing.
This is the space where my love goes. Lay back and let the vibe flow. This is the space where my hands go. If they're too hot, the eyes should be closed.
This is the space where every dream
grows. Life is not great.
Show me till my brain grows. On and on until we both know. Universal love in the nightfall.
There's something wrong with you.
That got me up.
I saw you dancing.
I love it. I love dancing.
So, you're tuned to listener sponsored radio WBAI.
Night Shift.
The name of the show is Night Shift. At about 5 o'clock, we're going to have author, producer, talk show host, artist, millionaire contractor, Patrick C. Wells.
Man, he's got a resume.
Very, very interesting man.
Yes.
And he is perfect for Night Shift. He himself, his life is science fiction.
My goodness.
But yes. And you will hear him from 5 to 6 here on Night Shift.
No matter what Night Shift.
He's the author of the book, How to Get High Without Drugs.
Tune in, folks.
How would that?
It's called Free Rides, How to Get High Without Drugs. Douglas Rushkoff and Patrick Wells. There it is. So, Byron, you know, I have a lot of entertainment news. Now, should I just jump right in?
Jump in, baby.
So, a couple things.
Yes. We got 30 minutes to give great information.
You got to,
you know, look
I know what you
body.
Have. Yes. I know what you have.
What
I see
got.
What you've got.
Go ahead. See
what you've got there, Byron.
Jump in.
I wonder what you're planning to do.
I even have rare weirdness.
You have a rare weirdness?
Yes, I do.
Okay. All right. Now, first of all, the first piece of information. Did you know that they're actually making a Mystery Science Theater
3000 movie?
Mystery Science Theater 2000.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And did you know that? Okay. All right. And you know they started production. Pre-production on the new Star Trek film.
Attached.
Yes. It's attached.
Hey, Mike, and here's a key point to the new Star Trek movie. Remember, they're going to have a new Enterprise.
Listen, obviously, but we've seen this before, son. Okay, now, did you know this, Byron?
Hi.
You know who Creation Conventions is?
Yeah.
And they put on those big science fiction Star Trek conventions.
Yeah.
They're going to be doing the first X-Files convention. Byron, this is how quickly, only in its second season, they're already cashing in on the merchandising. They're creating something because it exists. It's like, let's bring organization for fans, throw a convention for them, sell them paraphernalia.
In my best
X-Files convention will be coming up.
Imitation.
Creation.
It brings in billions and billions of dollars.
Carl Sagan has got
he's
some
got this rare disease, yes. I had that on my
Yes, I knew about that. Yeah,
weirdness.
You thought I didn't know about
it. Like science fiction.
They're making an ElfQuest film. Do you know about ElfQuest?
ElfQuest, yeah.
Richard Peedy. Okay, and Byron, I have to read something to you. Let me just show you some of the cast of Nixon. Have you been reading the cab?
Yeah, I've been reading.
First of all, listen, I'm just going to turn Edwin down. All right, you know Anthony Hopkins is playing Nixon, right?
Yes.
Okay, that's everybody knows that. Let me just tell you some of the people who are in it. Larry Hagman, okay? Powers Booth.
Yes.
E.G. Marshall.
Whoa.
Mary Steenburgen as Nixon's mother.
One of my favorite character
okay,
actors.
Paul Sorvino as Henry Kissinger.
Seriously?
Joan Allen as Pat Nixon.
Okay.
James Woods as H.R. Haldeman.
Yes.
J.T. Walsh as John Ehrlichman.
Yes.
Peter O'Toole as Richard Helms. Diane Ladd as Martha Mitchell. And Bob Hoskins as Hoover.
Damn.
So it's like... What a cast.
That is Seriosco.
Now, Byron,
yes.
Did you also know this interesting thing? Again, with the biggest advances that we're making here in America or in capitalism, you know? Did you know Blockbuster is now going to be offering a special Visa card to its members?
Yeah, I heard.
And the first Blockbuster opened in, I'm trying to remember where it was. It's in some out-of-the-way country. Like, you'd think some third-world country now has a Blockbuster in it. Sort of like the McDonald's of the...
And their test market.
So they have a Blockbuster Visa, and you go in and you get it, and it gives you free, you know, you earn points for, you know, it's a big multi-million-dollar thing.
Right.
Amazing. And did you know that they're making... Remember the TV series Combat?
Yes.
Yes. Combat.
Absolutely.
It's coming back.
That was the Vietnam War special, man.
Coming back, starring guess who?
Who?
Bruce Willis.
Well, yeah, I can see that.
There it is. He didn't do Sergeant Rock. He said, all right. He said,
Bruce
all right.
Willis.
Bruce Willis.
Boy, he's an old sergeant then. Bruce, you've gone beyond action hero. Look,
check it out. He's stopping now. Stop it now. Stop it now. You're a bad man. Not nice. Older men can't be tough.
Yes. I'm not denying that he's a tough guy.
How old are you?
Looking older.
So what?
You know, and
why?
These guys.
The age is lessening.
Well, then let him do James
age
Bond.
Age is a toughening. Clint Eastwood is 64. We get your ass all of them. Right, anyway, so, there it is.
There it is.
There it is.
You want some rare weirdness?
Yes. Hello, okay. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
This is Carla.
Hey, Carla.
Carla.
Wow. Carla. Back on Earth. Wow.
Yeah.
How are you?
It's me.
I know. I said, how are you?
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good. So, how are you guys?
Chicken, baby.
We're the same, pretty much.
Yeah. Excuse me.
Byron's
Mike,
the same.
Mike, you look pretty much the same to me,
Byron's
too.
Byron's the same. 212-279-3400.
Night shift.
Carla, well, I'm so glad that you did you still listen? You listen intermittently?
Yeah, when I'm up.
Thanks. I hear you.
Yeah, I hear you.
What brings you up, though, Carla? Like,
yeah.
Carla?
Up.
Carla, don't you have a life?
Well, let's see. Just got off my computer.
I could get up from that, yeah.
And, Byron, I brought something. I discovered something for $3.99 at Sounds. And listen, there was a woman who called last week and asked about Grace Jones.
That was me, Mike.
That was you, Sharon?
Yes.
Sharon, I found it for you.
Thank you.
Listen to me.
Listen to me.
I will tell you where. All right, listen. Grace Jones. And it's called...
That was freaky.
Yeah.
Play that back, Mike.
No, I won't.
It sounded real. You sounded like Quinn.
And get this.
What?
The girl that my guy is going with to California.
I hear you. Your guy is going with a girl to California.
Your best friend.
And what was that phrase you used? What was that phrase you used?
It was Carla Rosario.
What was that phrase you used about broadening the mind?
Yes.
I hear you.
She meant it literally. She opens her mind.
You're an interesting woman, Sharon. No, I'm kidding. All right, so go ahead. So, the girl he's going with?
Yeah, her name is Carla.
Oh, Carla, too.
We all went to high school together.
Well, we are all one here, then, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
Hey,
yes, we are. We are all one.
I love it.
Okay, all right. You have some real weirdness.
Yes, here we go.
In the background here, I'm going to play something I discovered for $3.99 at Sounds. That's at Sounds. You can get this the Grace Jones. It's Sex Drive is the name of the single. Typical Male is like the B-side on this CD single.
Oh, I love it.
Okay, yeah.
It's the best.
Yeah, it's Typical Male. See? So there it is.
Okay.
But down while I was at Sounds. Now, Sounds is on St. Mark's Place, which is 8th Street between 2nd and 3rd. That's where you go to Sounds. Go there. Go to Sounds, St. Mark's Place, and you will get... All right, you can also get this for $3.99. Professor Trance. and the Energizers. Okay, now I saw this and I thought, oh, I have to buy this. This could be some stupid thing. Byron, it's excellent.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, excellent.
Oh, really excellent?
More than grooving.
Peace.
More than grooving.
All right.
Okay, so groovy. Give me your rear weirdness. I'm going to play you some. While we're rearing. All right, I don't even know what I was going to say. While we're doing what we're doing to this music,
right,
Byron, you will read
the weirdness.
This is like, this CD was made for Night Shift. It's a Night Shift production.
Dancing is one of the great pleasures of life. Using dance as a way to go into trance dates back 40,000 years. Before recorded civilization, to our shamanic and aboriginal ancestors. From the North American Eskimo, the Yoruba of West Africa, the Ubanda of Brazil, the Sioux of North America, the shamans of Siberia, the Vodun of Haiti, the Shango of Trinidad, to the coastal Salish of Canada. Since before time, we have listened to the beat of our heart. Then we began to move like the animals we worshipped. Now, eyes closed and covered with a bandana, your feet firmly planted, begin to deeply breathe. Feel the power of your breath moving in and out, and you will find yourself in trance.
Okay, now for some really weirdness.
Again.
Swallows accomplished the mission. San Juan, Capistrano, California. Migratory cliff swallows return to their summer homes at the old Spanish mission. In this historic town yesterday, continuing in a century-old tradition made famous in songs, books, and movies. The swallows have been returning to Capistrano for over 200 years. Lock of Napoleon hair may be key to mystery.
You know, this is like, kind of like around the world in weirdness.
With Byron's noble class. Scientists said yesterday that they found high levels of arsenic in a lock of Napoleon's hair, deepening the mystery surrounding his death. The deposed French emperor died in exile in 1821 at age 51, and most historians say the cause was stomach cancer. Called Jurassic Park. Archaeologists in central Henan province have stumbled across a huge fossilized dinosaur egg, the largest and best preserved ever found in China, the People's Daily Newspaper said.
Dinosaur egg.
Archaeologist Song Weihua and photographer Yang Zhenfa were walking past some farmers shoveling soil when the egg, 21 inches in circumference, rolled out in front of them, the newspaper said. The dinosaur egg, which dates from the late Cretaceous period, 100 million years ago, was the biggest and most complete ever found in China, they said. Jellyfish invade Florida beaches. Miami Beach. A massive invasion of the jellyfish promises a stinging spring break in Florida. Strong east winds have pushed tens of thousands of Portuguese men of war from the Gulf Stream onto the shores of the Sunshine State,
where
college students are gathered for the annual rites of spring break. Jellyfish stings can cause severe pain. Dead baby found inside woman 92, London. A woman who died at age 92 had been carrying a dead baby in her uterus for 60 years, two Australian doctors reported yesterday. In a letter to the Lancet Medical Journal, they described how they treated the woman who was suffering from pneumonia and found she had a calcified stone baby in her uterus. Theft has eatery in a pickle.
Who killed Big Boy? Toledo, Ohio. Someone stole the 300-pound, 6-foot Big Boy statue from a restaurant, dismembered the grinning fibergrass fellow with a hacksaw, scrawled Big Boy is dead on the pieces, and dropped
around
them off
the world
around
in weirdness
town Sunday.
With Byron Saunders.
Between giggles, police are taking the theft seriously. Sad women use more of brain than sad men. Women use much more of their brain during sadness than men do, which may help explain why women are more prone to depression and government study suggested. A government study suggested this. And finally, Slinky just turned 50. Happy birthday, Slinky.
Oh my
and
God.
Finally, in a lighter note tonight, Around the World in Weirdness with Byron Saunders.
See the musician at home saying, I know that I'll get this on Night Shift.
Why not? All right.
Professor Trent and the Energizers.
Episode of Night Shift from back in 1995.
And that'll be Byron and the mystery guest, and the mystery guest, the 1995 mystery guest, and of course some of the callers we had. We had an interview coming up on that episode with Patrick C. Wells, who had written a book called Stoned Free: How to Get High Without Drugs. But instead of running that interview, I'm actually going to jump ahead to 2008. Now, this is over a decade later. This is 13 years later. And this is an episode where Chris is there, Valley is there, and like I said, a few other surprises. And you are still tuned to listener-sponsored radio, WBAI 99.5 FM in New York and on the web. And WBAI.org. I'm Mike Sargent, and we've been playing or having an encore presentation of some vintage Night Shift that was from 1995, and now we're jumping ahead to 2008, as Night Shift has been on for over three decades now. And hopefully you enjoy the music, the talk, the conversation, the things that were happening, which is interesting, things that were happening in the world at the time. So the litany of stories that Byron just went through, I think, is fairly fascinating. And that was Byron, when he would bring his own stories, searching and scouring for life is like science fiction stories. And of course, they fit right in with the show. Next, like I said, we're going to move ahead to a whole new era of Night Shift in 2008. If you're enjoying the show, please make a pledge right now. You can call 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950. Make a pledge. Become a WBAI buddy in the name of Night Shift. That's what we really need. We need that consistent support. That consistent, every month I'm giving $25 to WBAI. Over the course of the year, that may be $300, but that $25 a month, trust me, if I could get 10 listeners every show that said, hey, you know what? I'm enjoying this enough to spend my $25. I'm enjoying this enough to spend $6-$7 a week to listen to Night Shift, to keep a radio station like WBAI on with all the other programs I like. Make a pledge now, and you can do this, of course, by calling 212-209-2950, or you can go online to WBAI.org and make a pledge right now. Do it. If you've ever thought about doing it, now's the time. If you've done it before, now's the time to do it consistently. If once you're a WBAI buddy, you can pretty much ignore me asking for BAI buddies, because you know it's not you who hasn't done it. And now we jump ahead, but we're really looking back to 2008 episode of Night Shift, 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 of Night Shift.
Don't do it.
That goes for sex, too. You know, whatever. If it can kill you, it's not that much fun.
Don't mess with testosterone. The main thing. Stay away from it.
What if people could buy testosterone? And they found out that there was a black market, and that if you...
called a blue pill. I will be the wealthiest man in the world.
Shut up. No, but I mean, like, if you took this pill, you would give off this pheromone that would make women, you know, attracted
to
you.
What do you think about that? You think pheromones
like if they really had it. I mean, like, I'm sure they have it in the magazines. Eat this, she'll want you.
No, but, it's
what?
An accidental prolonged erection. For
no,
more.
I don't mean erection. You
no,
women aren't
pheromones,
just attracted to an erection.
Pheromones aren't.
It's like, hey, look at a guy.
No, a Telerec could do the same thing, please.
Yeah, exactly. It's not about the erection. Correct me if I'm wrong, Valley.
It's
like,
not.
You don't run over to a guy if you see him, okay?
No, I may run the opposite way.
Thank you.
I've been in a massage place before, and the guy's giving me a massage, and I could tell that he's totally, like, wet and in that situation. And, like,
so what did
pressing
you do?
Against me while he's going around the table. I'm
that
like,
was like some
God.
Barbara I had when
no,
I was
I'm
a
like,
kid.
I'm, like, creeping out.
Yeah, me too. I had that same
dude,
Barbara.
Dude, I'm trying to relax here.
Barbara, right?
Yes, I did.
But the point is, it's not all about the erection.
I know he had an erection.
No, all right.
I never would again.
So I'm
Chris,
saying,
do you know what pheromones? I mean, the thing Mike's talking about, pheromones,
story.
It's like the
it's
sixth sense. It's like the thing
Black
that
market.
Attracts you to someone that you can't really define.
And here's the thing. Here's what would happen. Like, if it became black market and you could buy it, like an ugly guy could get a good-looking girl.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and
like
but he'd have to keep taking
like
it.
Like that Gwyneth Paltrow
to
movie.
Keep her.
Hal.
I like it. He's got to keep taking it. And then at some point, whatever, he falls on bad times. He can't afford it. She's like, what was I thinking? What was I thinking?
Which is where a lot of women come out anyway. What was I thinking?
You know.
That's what most women think when they don't want to run a relationship anymore. It's like, what was I thinking?
But there is that pheromone thing.
It's for guys too.
It's for everyone. It's like a sixth sense that I liken it. This is what I say, guys. It's called being sober in the morning.
No, I say
it's like catching the flu. You cannot control it. There's just something that attracts you to somebody, and it's a sixth sense, and there's something there.
It doesn't give you a chance to think. That's what drives us to tea.
Stop. Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, I'm on the air.
Have you ever been on a date, Monroe?
Hey, there you go, Mike.
I'm just asking. I asked Chris. I could ask you.
Listen, you behave, Mike.
All right. Just tell me about your worst date.
I don't get to be program director of WBAI. Somebody's got to succeed Bernard White. He can't have it all to himself.
Well, why don't you run?
Yeah, that's right.
You should run as program director.
Doing a show that's
anti-human. I'll support you. You can run for program director against Bernard. You know?
I don't have to run against him. I just say, what's going on?
Monroe. You were the great educator. How's your dad? My dad is good. Monroe, it's 116.
When you were talking education.
I understand.
And what do you do now? I take calls from crazy people.
I don't know what I'm doing.
You're a mind rot.
Here's my question. Monroe, are you living alone?
why is life like science fiction? It is science, and it is not fiction. It's real.
It is science, and it's real.
What happened to Scotty Dash? They never got up in the thing.
And I'm not going to be... Listen, you had Tony D on. You know who Tony D is? That lovely-sounding woman that was on it. Who loved the guy who said, Monroe,
I have to rein you in. Do you have any kind of dating story you want to tell?
Yeah.
Tell me one,
minding
please.
Minding my own business. Go on and laugh. I'm sitting on this pipe outside.
Wait, is this how dates start for you? Like you meet someone and all of a sudden you're in a date?
Huh?
No, go ahead. I'm sorry. I want to hear this.
Listen, I went on a date and we went and saw Repulsion. We could have seen Wild in the Street, but I thought, well, Repulsion is a more mature movie. It was such a heavy deal, I'll tell you.
Well, it's not exactly a romantic film that brings somebody on for a date. They probably tell that story as their worst date.
Yeah, well, anyway, I'm warning people about not going to the wrong movie. But listen,
well, thank you, Monroe.
Yeah, but listen, Mike.
What?
All this talk about testosterone and this and tough guys and men, males, and men. All this is, you know...
Monroe.
Humanity. There's a kind of a spirit amongst good people to try and work with others, to try and be humane. Not to call some people beautiful and others ugly.
Monroe, let me just tell you something. When you talk, you've got to have a point. It's better for the listener.
I'm trying to make a very wide point because I find it very painful. You know,
so do we, Monroe. This is the pronunciation of ideas. Oh, my God. What's the phone number here, Melly?
212-209-2900.
What's being spewed on your program, and now you got an extra hour?
Yes, I do.
What did you do? Why 1 hour? Why not two? Tony Short gave you only 1 hour?
You know, Monroe.
Yeah,
Mike. You know what Sean Connery would say to you?
Yes, man. You're a stupid man. I don't care what Sean Connery
Say to me. You've been listening long enough to know. What's the phone number here, Billy?
212-209-2900.
What's amazing is that Monroe actually hanging up on us. Yes, hello.
I love Monroe's dates.
Of course. Unreal. All right.
Here's a scary date for you, Mike.
Here's a scary date. This is a true story?
This is a very true story.
Okay, I love it.
All right, we're going back to
probably the year was probably 1971. And I had a friend that, yeah, for a long time, you know, I really wanted to, you know, well, for lack of better terminology, I wanted to jump this girl's bones for a long time. And, yeah, it's back in the 70s, and we're, like, major getting stoned partners, and we get stoned and hang out all the time and have a great time. So I finally convinced her to go out on a date one night. And we do a bunch of hallucinogenics. And we go to a club. We have a great time. And then we leave the club, and we go to a diner. We stop by a diner on the way home. All right, so we go in the diner. She orders her food. She orders a hamburger. Right? She orders it well done. And, I mean, we're both tripping out of our frickin' faces. Right? She goes to bite into the hamburger, and she sees blood and totally freaks out in the diner. Right? Walks up to the diner and hits the girl behind the counter in the face with the hamburger. Right? And I got all kinds of contraband on me, so I pull her out of there, go out to the parking lot, jump in my car, start the car, put the car in gear, and the drive shaft falls on the ground, starts making all kinds of noise. Right? So now, here I am with this tripped out date, pockets full of stuff I shouldn't have, and a car with a drive shaft laying on the ground, and the police are on the way.
All right, now this is where we pause. What will happen? Stay tuned. Will the police get this man?
Was this the prelude to 12 years in jail?
Exactly. Was this the prelude? Stay tuned. Now, for a word from our sponsor.
Mazda.
We need to do some fake commercials, but I'd love to do it.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to. Yes. Okay, go ahead, so.
It's not quite that dramatic at the end. I mean, I run out on the road. I hail the first passing cab. Right?
Oh, that was smart.
Shove her ass into a cab, and we get the hell out of there.
Smart.
Bottom line is, did I get the boot? No. She was too wasted to do anything else for the rest of the night. You know, and I just remember walking down the street by myself with the sun coming up in my face, and my pockets still full all kinds of happy shit.
At least you did not end up in a cell with Bubba. It could have been worse.
That was the date from hell.
Well,
I just thought I had to share that with you.
Thank you. That definitely was not...
Everything else in comparison, guys, that are listening out there should be a piece of cake.
Yeah, the 70s were fun times. Sometimes. Hey, but you guys keep doing what you're doing, and, you know, despite whatever Monroe says, you know, one of the best shows on BAI. I never miss you guys.
Really?
Well,
wait, how long have you been listening?
2 years now.
2 years?
Very nice.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
And if you've been listening 2 years, you know, sometimes it's serious, sometimes it's funny. It's everything. It's life.
Mike just listened to the story, and he asked me what's wrong with me. Mike, I'm from the age of freaking sex, drugs, rock and roll, and hallucinogenics. You want to know what's wrong with me? Come on here. Why else would I be listening to this station?
Oh, no. Now you made him choke on a grape.
You made me choke.
Don't say that. But, hey, give my regards. I know Elena's not here this week. Hey, mister, but you guys. And what's the young lady's name tonight?
Valley. Or Valerie, depending on when you tuned in and how formal. But, you know, since you called in, we're on a nice and cozy terms here yet.
We call her Lady V.
Lady V. I love it.
Lady V.
No, but you know, my really good friends do call me V, so I'm okay with that, too.
Hey, well, V, you guys are doing a fantastic...
Thank you so much.
...doing a fantastic show. Hey, would you do me one favor?
What's that?
Send hate mail to John Tesh.
Stop. John Tesh, the musician, former announcer?
Yeah, with his radio show on WJBR because he's bleeding over onto my BAI reception. And stupid show. I hate his stupid intellect. I hate his stupid music. Right? And I hate him bleeding over on my freaking night shift.
I hear you. You know, use the force.
Yeah, use the force against him. Transmitter, that would work.
Yeah, exactly. We should turn up the transmitter. Either that, or you can take a wire hanger and stick it on your ear.
Stick it on your ear?
Your ear. Yeah, stick it on your ear.
Yeah.
Exactly. Wrap it with copper wire.
I got one last thing to say before I hang up.
What's that?
Mike, you listening?
Yeah, I'm listening.
I'll call you back in 5 minutes.
Shut up. Shut up.
It's so true.
Shut up. John Pitt. You tend to listen to Sponsored Radio.
Night Shift.
WBAI. The name of the show.
Night Shift. Nobody touched
Mondays. Midnight.
Become 62, you can pay $10 and have a lifetime pass.
a lifetime pass to what?
That's what I wanted to know, but all I did
what the hell? A lifetime pass. What does that mean?
I'm going to tell you, Mike.
Pass out. Whatever's left.
That song keeps singing. It's to national parks, man. You get in a lifetime pass. $10.
They let old people into parks for free, huh?
Did you hear about Morgan Freeman?
No, I just heard he had a car accident. I hope he's okay.
Yeah, I hope he's all right, too. I really love Morgan Freeman, and I send out all positive vibes to him to recover well. And the only thing that was a little funny was they had a picture of the woman that he was driving with, and they called her Miss Daisy. It was
stop. Funny.
Well, that's what they said, and this is Miss Daisy. That's what it said in the article, is Miss Daisy.
Mrs. Daisy.
This is who Morgan Freeman drives the car with.
That's what it said. Stupid
man. It did. I'm not making it up.
You're an idiot.
I'm not making it up.
Morgan Freeman crashes Miss Daisy.
That's what it says. Go to TMZ.com and it'll say Morgan Freeman and this is Miss Daisy.
Stupid man.
They have a picture of her.
All right, fine. I believe you. Listen, you know what I saw? And I believe it comes out this Friday. Tropic Thunder. Does that come out this Friday?
How was that?
It was amazing.
Really?
Yes.
That's the new Ridley Scott, isn't it?
No. This is the new Ben Stiller.
Oh, that's
Ben
right.
Ben Stiller.
Big difference.
Yeah, it is. Ben Stiller, Robert Downey Jr. I was shocked.
Oh, that's the one where Robert Downey Jr.
Yes.
Portrays an African American.
Yes.
Were you offended by that?
Well,
that's
you know
what it looks like. Mine.
I was not offended.
Why don't they hire an African American to do it? Though there's few roles.
No.
That's the one that looks like Mike.
That's what everybody says that looks like me. I don't think it looks like me, but do you think this looks like me? Thank you.
No.
Yes, thank
you. Lie. You're the best. Okay.
I know Mike's face cold. That does not look like him.
Joe never lies.
Joe always telling me, more people are calling me. Ian called me and said, all right, anyway, though I do believe certain friends will say that. I'm looking at his eyes and his eyebrows.
Would you love me?
Would you love me? When does it come out? It comes out the 13th, so no, I can't really talk about it yet. But I will talk about it next week.
That's the other thing. If you listen to all the back shows, you're always talking about what you're going to talk about next week, and then next week never comes.
Next week comes.
That's
you
like why are you lying?
Hello, you're in the air.
Why are you lying like this?
Yes, indeed. What's the phone number here, Valley? This is that 212? Summer music.
Hello?
You know what, Mike?
09?
Yes, hello.
Can you send me a thing?
Yeah, I heard you mention Morgan Freeman.
Yes.
Yeah.
Morgan Freeman, he was in an accident?
Yes, he was. Accident. Yeah. Car accident, yes, he was.
Okay. And we hope he's okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes, that was it. But ma'am, since you called, what's your name?
Elle,
could you tell us maybe about the craziest, wackiest, weirdest,
one
maybe
up.
The worst date you've ever been on?
No.
All right, that's fair enough, but you've been on
How about
couple.
A great one?
How about a great date? Best date?
No.
Why did you change your name?
I beg your pardon?
You could change your name and be anonymous.
Why don't I what?
You could change your name here on the air and be anonymous and then tell us.
Could say your name's
Veronica.
Can you
just ask me my name?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you, Al. It's the word humorless.
Can I be honest with you?
What?
That's an Alzheimer's person.
Stop. Now you see, you're a stupid.
Come
man.
On, that's funny.
It's not funny.
Good, now she'll hear that. Then she'll go back and yell at me. That's what it's like.
No.
Where did I find you? Hello, you're on the air. Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Is this the radio station?
No.
It is.
It's the pizza.
No, we're not going to take your pizza order. I knew you were going to say that.
Yes, it is.
Where the hell did y'all get that lady from?
Stop. Stop. Tell us a bad date, sir.
Huh?
Tell us one of your bad dates.
Or tell us a surprising
date. I'll tell
you
a joke.
No, I want to.
I'll tell you a joke about a bad date.
A joke about a bad date.
All right. We're good with this.
We're scraping the bottle here now.
All right, you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Wait,
is it clean?
I'll make it clean.
All right.
Does it have our 7 FCC violated?
It has no curse words in it.
Okay.
All right. There was a guy, he met this girl, you know. It was out shopping in a mall. So the girl, you know, she told him, why don't you come on to my side of town and we'll go out for a date. So the guy said, fine, I'll meet you on Sunday. So Sunday came around. The guy goes over there. The girl never told him she was married. So he comes up to the door after walking all the way across town. And he sees the girl. The girl opens the door and says, oh, my God, meet me around the side of the window. Of course, her husband was home. He said, why? She said, I'm sick. He said, oh, I came all the way across town for this date and you're sick? She said, just meet me around by the side of the house. So he goes around by the side of the house.
Now, he doesn't know that she's married.
He doesn't know she's married.
Okay.
All right, so he's outside the window. She says, listen, we have to do it another day because I'm sick. So the guy's like, oh, man, I walked all the way across town. At least you could give me a kiss. She says, listen, I'm sick. So he's like, come on, baby, just give me a kiss. So just as he goes to get a kiss from her, her husband comes in the room and she turns around. Now her butt is facing the window. And he goes up and he kisses her butt. And he says, oh, baby, you must be sick because your jaws are all swollen and your breath smell like... You get it?
Unfortunately, I do get that.
I had to hold off on the last word, but forget it, man.
I understand. I do get it.
All right.
You know. Thank you.
All right. Later.
All right. Well, I really thought he was going to say something else like, well, if you had a car. I'm sorry.
And you are still tuned to listener-sponsored radio, WBAI 99.5 FM in New York, and this is Night Shift. This is a vintage episode of Night Shift from 2008. So, know that as you listen. You cannot call. But you can listen to those who did. Here. On Night Shift.
Hi, Valerie. Have you ever had a guy lick...
Thank you for being quick on that. I'm sure he was just going to ask me about ice cream.
Ask that guy if he could choke on an ice cube.
Hello?
Yes?
Hey, Val. How you doing?
Hey, what's up?
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a matter of opinion.
Yes. Well,
I personally think the new guy they got playing James Bond is like the ugliest character on Earth and does nothing to portray the image of James Bond as created by Sean Connery.
That would be like a sexy, mysterious...
He's none of those things. He's just ugly and weird-looking, right? I mean, I think, you know, if you want an action hero, hell, Jason Statham would have been a much better Bond than this guy. That's just my opinion, you know what I mean? Well, from the female perspective, what do you think of this new Bond characterization?
Oh, that's a hard question to ask me. Well, I'm going to tell you straight. One of my friends, Clive Robertson, I think would have been amazing. And he was in discussions with him before that. He was one of the top soap stars. And he has that look, you know, the dark, slender, more Bondish look that you would think
right.
of. And so I was predisposed not to like this guy. And I don't find him personally attractive myself, like if I just saw him. But I think what he did was he earned our respect on the screen for the role because he did so many of his own stunts, because he threw himself into it, because he really executed with believability. So you were able to follow him. I mean, the stunts were amazing. You know, there were no edits in some of those stunts, and he did them himself. So he actually begrudgingly earned my respect. But just so far as if I were at a party and I were single and I were looking and he caught my eye across the room, no.
You'd probably run.
He just doesn't exude that pheromone thing that we were discussing.
Right.
For me personally, I wouldn't just go.
You'd rather slip into dementia.
he's probably the least popular Bond to come down the road.
Yeah,
I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say that at all.
I still think Jason Statham would have been a much better Bond, you know, in light of doing his own stunts and having more personality or more presence on the screen. And as, you know, if you're into action characters, I think Jason Statham has done a better job. Why in the hell did they get rid of Pierce Brosnan anyway?
He's too old.
Too old.
There's no too old. I don't think he was too old. I think Pierce Brosnan.
Roger Moore was too old.
No, I think Pierce Brosnan is hot. I mean, have you seen him in the Thomas Crown Affair? That man is hot. He has a certain.
That was 8 years ago.
I know, but he has a very sophisticated.
Hey, I like Pierce Brosnan. Don't get me wrong.
Monroe would have been a better job than this guy. Monroe could have done a better job than the guy they got doing it. Yeah, Monroe would have been fucked.
I don't know. You know, maybe they were trying to be atypical because maybe there was such a following for the previous look of Bond that maybe they deliberately went another direction. I don't know. Right. But for me,
equality, equal rights for ugly people.
Stop. Let me just say this.
You know, he had made that film. Let me just interrupt this. He made a film called Layer Cake in 2004, and he kind of was doing like a James Bond thing in that. So I think that they looked at that, and they were like, well, you know, worst case scenario, let's just see, you know, we know that he can pull that off, so... I think it was also a decision, you know, because it's a big budget and everything else.
Okay.
You're taking a chance with somebody that you're trying to... So,
well, I interviewed them about it.
Right.
And...
Well,
I think...
Then that squashes my opinion.
Well, no. I'm just going to tell you what they said and what my opinion is. I mean... I believe them. They said that, you know, what they wanted to do was cast somebody who you believe could do the things that James Bond has to do. And Daniel Craig, physically, even if you don't think his face is as handsome or as pretty boy as some of the other Bonds have been, you definitely believe Daniel Craig could take a punch and give a punch. And even if it wasn't him in those scenes when he has to do the stunts, he looks believable doing it. He's got a build. He's got a look to him. He's rugged. Now, hold on. And if you look at the script, how they wrote him and what they describe him as, this blunt instrument, the concept they're going for is that he was rough around the edges. He's more of a... You know, someone who has to be honed. We're seeing the origin of Bond, how he went from this scruffy, you know, in your words, ugly, fugly man to like this debonair, you know. Here's the other thing that a good actor can do. Hold on a second. Another thing that a good actor can do, and any person who really has good command of whatever they got going, let's use Sarah Jessica Parker. You know, they use what they've got, you know, and he works what he's got. And he does. He's in terrific shape. He's a great actor. He's good. And you believe him. So okay. There. No. That being said, I think that's why they chose him, and that's why they went in this direction with Bond.
So what you're saying is that.
Though wait. Though I do say, I mean, they pick him now. He's like 40. And he just turned 40. This guy's gonna crag out in like 3 years. He's gonna crag right out. I mean. His youth is part of what makes him, you know, to me, like, all right, I want Bond to be a handsome man. He's going to crack out. That's all I want to say.
Yeah, but he doesn't even look young.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He looks on that edge of crack.
He's on the edge of crack.
Right. We're not getting whipped by the sexy
and I predict
by a big fat lady with the freaking club.
Listen to me. After he successfully starts to crag out, I predict the tabloids will call him Daniel Craig. That's my prediction.
Nice.
That's my prediction.
That's good.
Remember I said it here. You heard it here.
Way to go, Mike.
It is.
Good, thanks.
All right, guys.
All right.
Fun. We got you.
He does have a point, though.
All right, Valley, you have a story for us. And Valley, wait, now hold on. Before you give us someone a story, I want to hear what some of your bad days.
You want
had,
juicy.
Yeah, come on. I mean,
oh,
come on.
She's the queen of bad days.
Yes, she's probably, you know, come on. You could have a
That is not true. No. I am not the queen of bad days. I can have fun anywhere. I mean, I could get broken down in a car, and we can still laugh about it if we.
I think you definitely Charlie Brown somebody.
Look at me.
I think you definitely Charlie Brown somebody. Somebody showed up, and you just Charlie Browned him. Poor guy.
Mm.
Wow.
He was.
What? What is that?
I don't know.
We got their own thing going on, everybody. We're just.
She's having a reaction to something.
A spider.
Hope not.
Hmm.
She's paying no attention to what I'm saying.
No, we were listening to you, Chris. We're in rapid.
Have you ever Charlie Brown somebody as well?
Does that mean just totally stood them up?
No, well, you know, you
held the football and then pulled it away.
Yeah, you Charlie Browned them. Like,
I don't think so. Because
the worst time you can do it to somebody is on Valentine's Day. That's like the worst one ever.
No, because you know, most of the time if I go out with someone, I'm already friends with them, unless it's a blind date. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm trying to think if I've ever gone out on a blind date with someone.
You do not have to qualify. You do not have to answer this question.
You don't have to answer my questions. What does that mean?
I want to hear your one of it. Give me. I want three throughout the show. So give me the first one.
I'll give you the good, the bad, and I'll give you some bad ones and some great ones.
Okay,
I already trust me, my great ones are great.
Okay.
Good stuff. Okay, this is a no-brainer. I mean, this is obvious. I feel ridiculous even saying it, but I'm going out with this guy that I think is going to be amazing. We're supposed to go out to dinner.
When was this, last week?
In college.
Oh.
So I don't know him that well, but we're going to go out to dinner, and then we're going to go catch a flick. So he picks me up. We don't go out to dinner, and I'm starving, so that's bad on him already. Not that I'm expecting him to feed me. I would feed myself. I'll pay my own bill, but if we're supposed to eat, I want to eat. I'm not one of those little pee pushers. I actually want food, so I'll have real energy. So anyway, so that's it. And then he takes me to, like, a theater, and I don't really notice what we're going in to see. And I sit down, and all of a sudden, there's two girls going at it. And we should have had this discussion before I got in the theater. That's what I think. So
you went on
not,
a Travis Bickle date.
I don't know, but there was not a second date.
Wow. The Travis Bickle, that's Taxi Driver.
Oh, and then to top it all off, third strike, you're out on the way home. He has the audacity to pull over somewhere to park to try to make out with me, as if I would even kiss his creepy lips after that little stunt he pulled. I mean, we should, and I'm real blunt. Like, if I'm out on a date with someone and I feel like they're kind of encroaching in my space a little bit and I'm not ready for it, I'll say, kiddingly kind of, I'll say, you weren't thinking we were going to make out right now or anything, were you? Because we haven't even done lunch yet. You know, I'll just keep it light or whatever, but some guys, even on the dance floor.
You don't say, just back off, chump.
No, because some guys, even on the dance floor, ladies, back me up on this. They will just come up behind you and start, like, bumping and grinding on you without you even making eye contact or anything.
There's no such thing as music. Music is a lie.
It's just way to hear a real fast goodbye. So
imagine any scenario where that's like, hey, wow, smooth
move. I know. I can't imagine
rubbed
even.
Rubbed your Johnson on her.
Yeah. No, the best policy is always talking and humor.
Humor.
Because you get a girl laughing and you connect with her and there's something in common and you have a chance for furthering the connection. But just being grabby or, presumptive or whatever, it's not okay with me. Maybe some girls would just go along with it, but
come on, that's like who's the girl that when the construction workers whistle, they go, oh, thank you. Who's that girl? I don't think she exists.
Val, do you prefer guys that you can almost wear their clothes?
Almost wear their clothes. Explain.
You mean
that
like
one.
Wake up in their shirt in the morning?
No, just.
I know you didn't.
Would
mean
you
that.
Prefer to date guys that you can almost wear their clothes? I'm just curious.
Do you understand the concept?
I don't know what that means. It's metaphorical, I'm sure, but.
Well, no, I understand the concept of that.
But you mean a small man?
No, not a small man. Well, not a small man, but in shape person. An in shape guy. Like, really in shape. But you could almost wear his clothes.
How could you almost wear his clothes? He'd have to be a little
man. I don't know, but the main thing for me if I'm dating someone is I want to have some real synergy. I want us to both have similar energies. You know, what a drag if you get with someone. I'll tell you this. Some guys have thought before when they've hung out with me a little bit, oh, cool. But, it'd be great. It'd be great if we were together, for a longer hang, like permanently even. But I would just be so frustrating for some people. You know it, Mike, because if you get with someone that has a real low energy level and maybe they just want to chill on the sofa all the time and they just have a real low energy level and they're with someone else that would like to go hiking or would like, just that alone, that small thing alone could cause unnecessary friction. I'm not saying you should bail just because of that, but I will say the more things you have in common, including energy level and eating, if one of you's vegan and one of you's a carnivore, whatever it is, the more you can have in common, the more you can start out with, I think the more likely that you're going to push each other in good directions and you're going to have good energy between you.
And avoid dementia.
Well, you were going to say something. I saw the look on your eyes. You were going to say something and you self-edited, which is unlike you.
Oh, that's funny. There's so much I could say.
You just were like ready to just explode.
Hello, you're in the air. That's another show. Hello, you're in the air. Yes, hello.
turned down. Hi, can you hear me?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
You have a really bad date?
My radio.
Okay.
I've got two crazy date stories. One.
Okay.
One good, one bad, but the bad one's kind of funny.
Okay.
I'll tell you the bad one first. What reminded me of it was your other caller who grew up during the age of sex, drugs, and rock and roll. This was my first year in college, and I was up all night long, for 2 days, with some chemical assistants, and writing a paper. So I finished my paper. I thought I did a tremendous job on it, and I was walking home, and I ran into this girl that I've been dating a few times, and she said, "Well, I'm tonight. A bunch of my friends are going to get together and go to a drive-in movie with one of my girlfriends, with all of her old high school friends." And I went to a rural college, and this place was about 40 miles away, out in the middle of nowhere in a little small country town. And I went out there with her and her girlfriend and a bunch of guys and girls that they all knew from high school. Went to the drive-in movie, and it was going to be one of these all-night horror film, marathon.
Like Dawn of the Living Dead and whatever, yeah?
That kind of thing, right. And so we had a bunch of beer and marijuana and there were about, three or four cars lined up. And I was feeling great, but you have to remember, I had been up for like 48 hours. And it was the first time I'd, ever done anything like that. So I really didn't realize, that there was going to be a hard crash at the end of it. So we went to the, we went to the drive-in movie, and, it was about 8 o'clock in the evening, and I went into the little concession stand to get some popcorn and candy and stuff like that. While I was standing in line, I just all the energy went out of my body, and in about a period of about 30 seconds, I became horribly sick, and I went into the bathroom, and I ended up throwing up, and I just felt terrible. I went back to the car. I said, I go, "Carolyn, I'm sorry, but I'm just really sick." And she was pretty cool about it. She said, "Well, just kind of sit back and see if you feel better." And I didn't. I just kept feeling worse and worse and worse. I said, "Look, I'm sorry, but I'm really sick." So she said, "Okay, this is what we'll do. We'll take you back to my girlfriend's house and make a bed on the living room couch, and you can basically sleep it off. I'll go back to the drive-in, and we'll pick you up in the morning, and then we'll drive back to college." And I said, "Okay, thanks. I'm so sorry."
Well, this is sounds like a bad day for her.
Anyway. So they take me to the parents' house. And you got to remember, this is a rural community. So this is a house like out in the middle of nowhere. And the parents were already in bed. And so we just quietly go into the house, into this stranger's house. I had never been there before. And they made a little bed for me on the couch in the living room. And I my head was whirling. I just felt terrible. Just lay here, sleep it off. We'll pick you up in the morning. We'll go back to school. Go to the doctor.
Pick you up in the morning. Where were they going now?
They went back to the all-night drive-in movie. You follow me so far?
I follow you. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, all right. So I lay down on the couch, and I immediately go to sleep. So then about 2 or 3 hours later, I don't really know how long, I wake up. It's pitch black. I'm still deathly ill. And I have totally soiled myself.
Oh my God.
Because I was so sick. So here I am. It's pitch black, and I'm in this stranger's house.
Have you been sober ever since?
No, but I'm not done yet. It gets worse. So I'm trying. So I get up, and I'm groping through this pitch black. Remember, this is out in the country. There's no street lights or anything. I'm groping around trying to find the bathroom. I walk into the parents' bedroom.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
That's the worst one we've heard
God.
Tonight.
Oh
the
my God.
Father bolts straight up into the security. I go, oh, sir, you know, I'm so sorry. I've soiled my pants.
I was at the show.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, sir. It's like a stranger came to soil his pants in your house.
I became deathly sick, and I completely soiled myself. But, you know, I used the real word, you know. So the guy's really kind of angry. You know, he's angry, but he reins it in. He's really cool. He gives me some of his own underwear, takes me into the bathroom, and I clean up and everything. I go back, I lay down, go back to sleep, and I wake up a couple hours later, and it's happened again.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. What kind of drugs are you doing? That's not marijuana.
X-Lax is not a recreational drug.
Exactly. What the hell are you doing?
So then,
you were very young at the time, sir.
Oh, I was. So then I knew the layout of the house. Or, you know, so I creep back into the bathroom, you know, to clean up again. Now, of all occupations, this guy ran a little grocery store. Okay. Like he has to get up in the morning, like 4 o'clock in the morning, to go get the to go get the deliveries and everything.
So I'm in there
being as quiet as I can, right? So the door opens and it's the father, and I'm in there again. Oh. I go, oh my, I'm sorry, it happened again.
Oh my God.
So anyway,
my God. And at that point, you started to shrink.
Oh,
and you became an inch high and ran out of the man's house.
Pretty much. Okay. But so anyway, that's the story. We ended up all having a pretty good laugh about it.
I hear you. Did he hose you off in the backyard or something?
It was the date from L.
Wow. I think that girl and her parents tell this story. They're like, I don't know, one of the worst things ever.
They're on hold
to
tell it right now.
Exactly. Who was that guy? He came and he crapped in our couch. He crapped in my underwear twice. All right, well, there it is.
Tried to crawl into bed with your mother?
I understand.
Really? Anyway, I thought you'd get a kick out of that one.
That's a pretty amazing story. What's your name?
Are you there?
Yeah, and what's your name?
Jack from Brooklyn.
Jack from Brooklyn. Well, Jack, now, how long you been listening to the show, Jack?
Oh, my God. Since like 1980 or something like that.
1980? You've been listening all this time?
Oh, 1980. Yeah.
You're listening before we were
hardcore.
On.
I'm hardcore.
No, I mean, you've been listening to BAI since 1980. I'm talking about this show, Night Shift. How long have you been listening to Night Shift?
Oh, to your show?
Yeah.
Oh, only when I'm up this late. I usually am not up this late. I fell asleep. I've got BAI kind of running in the background all the time. So if I'm
understand.
Up this hour, I'm with you guys.
I feel you. All right. Well, okay. I thank you for that story.
Hey, okay. Thanks a lot. Love your show.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
There you go.
Well, there it is.
Satisfied customer.
It definitely sounds like something out of like a Adam Sandler. Or
my date
Seth Rogen.
Sounds like the prom in comparison to his.
Exactly.
That was a bad deal.
He was the bad deal actually in that date. I have to say, like he was really like, you know, my daughter brought home this guy. I'd be like, damn, you know, honey. Let me help you.
Yeah, we forgot to say. Did you guys get married and everything was
exactly
the father the first thing
we got
the
three
next
kids
morning.
Now, right? You know, and they still make fun of me for that. Hello, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Mike.
Yes.
DJ.
My goodness.
Well, my story can't rival Jack's, but...
That's a good thing, actually.
You have a date story. Okay, I'd like to hear you DJ on a date.
Okay. Well, we had this friend that we called the inspector after Inspector Clouseau.
Okay.
And one time he invited me out, and we were going to see a group called 10 Wheel Drive with Genya Raven. Did you ever hear of them?
No. Well, go ahead.
But they're really good.
Okay.
So we come out of the place, we're hopping and bopping to the music, and we go to his car, and the car won't go. It just won't go. So we wind up having to call my mother, and my mother come into Manhattan to get us little kittles, you know.
Okay, well, you know, okay, I'm definitely, that's not a good day.
No, it definitely makes the good night kiss a little awkward when mom's supervising.
Yes, kind of humiliating.
Kind of humiliating, yes. Well, at least he didn't crap on the couch. That's the way you can look. One way to look at it.
That's now our barometer of whether it was the suckiest date ever. Did he crap on the couch? Well, no, at least he didn't crap on the couch twice.
Exactly, twice. In your father's underwear.
I think you might want to look into the group, though, if there's still music of theirs available.
All right, I will write that down.
10 Wheel Drive.
Chris, are you writing that down?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
I'll email.
11 Wheel Drive.
Yeah, I've been listening since Chris was first on.
Since back when Chris first started.
Really?
And you guys used to send tapes to Howard Stern.
Yeah, you remember that?
I remember that.
Wow.
Where the hell never are sent these
tapes? Well, listeners sent tapes. We never sent the tapes. What's that?
We never did that. Somebody. We never found out who.
Oh, no. Well, then somebody did, yeah.
Look at this. You know, they got a dancing robot on TV, and it's for deodorant. And I was just reading this in Variety. They're talking about all these robot-themed pictures coming out. After the success of Transformers, they're making Voltron, Robotech, like every robot thing you could possibly imagine.
Astro Boy.
And you have to think about, we just did have, you know, Wall-E, Iron Man, you know. There's been a lot of robots happening, Transformers. So, and they said people have come to accept robots as just part of everyday life. And in Japan, it's insane what they're doing with robots. Like, insane. For everything you could think of. For entertainment, for doing things, for sex, for helping autistic children. Now, you've got a story there. Talk about the granny skeletal, exoskeletal granny story. Speaking
bizarre.
Of which.
Who did you whack?
Exactly.
Yep, you're right. It's the exoskeletal granny contraption.
Okay, talk to me.
Finding ways to assist and care for the growing elderly population in many countries is a growing problem. One challenge is to work out how to improve the strength of aging limbs. So, Yoshiyuki Sankai at the University of somewhere that how would you say this? T-S-U-K-U-B-A. I think it would be Tsukuba. Because I have a friend named Peter Tsai, and his is T-S also.
And the T is silence, yes.
Yeah, and the T is silent.
Yes.
So at the University of Tsukuba, shout out to my peeps in Tsukuba, near Tokyo, has developed an exoskeleton for a single arm that can do just that. It's this little, you saw the picture, it's like this little vest, almost like a bulletproof looking vest that goes over the chest and the back of a person. And this is so cool. It senses the angle, torque, and nerve impulses in the arm and then assists the user.
We need to move, get the music off the stations. That's what we need to do.
To move his or her shoulder and elbow joints. And it's kind of like an assist, I guess. Like if you're weightlifting, it kind of intuitively senses what you want to do and that just helps kind of give you a boost so you don't totally lapse into immobility if you can't do it all yourself, which is really ingenious.
It is. It is. The whole thing is ingenious. But of course, I can picture a whole like the supervillain who's been kept alive and he's got the exoskeletal thing.
Of course.
And he's, you know, attacking. No, Mr. Bond. You know, he's like, whatever. You can't see it, Chris? You know what they're about to release?
It could even just be used for therapy when someone gets in a car crash or something or whatever it is.
True.
Just till they, you know, get recuperated and then hopefully they can shed the exoskeletal super cape and, you know, do things on their own. But that could really be the bridge that helps people get from inability to building up their strength.
No, I agree 100%. I think it's pretty fantastic.
Either that or get a hot trainer.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the hot trainer wouldn't hurt. You know, get the hot trainer, too.
You're very motivational.
It's like science fiction.
You're listening to an extended one-hour version tonight.
That's right. This is, normally you'd be hearing Tony Short.
The great Tony Short. I just can't say enough about how great a show is. This is just amazing.
Is it person to person?
Yes, it is.
Person to person. Well, person to person will be back next week. Tonight, you're getting an extended night shift. Yes, I'm going to be going into some DVD reviews soon. Chris, you know what's coming out in, like, November? On Blu-ray?
What's coming out?
The entire Planet of the Apes on Blu-ray.
Oh.
You know, I'm so ready.
Oh.
I'll send you, I have the artwork. I saw the artwork. Like, that's how much of a fanatic I am. I'm like, ooh, look at the box art. You know?
I'm totally buzzing about the box art.
Yeah. And it comes with, like, a booklet, you know, like a thick hardcover booklet.
Nah, they're going to get another 100.
Yes. Will they give you a ring? Will they give you anything really cool?
They really blew themselves out at the last one. They had the giant Cornelius head. You could get, like, a little Cornelius bust with your DVDs inside, which I didn't get, but I did want to have it, you know.
Alien hasn't gone to Blu-ray yet, has it?
No, Alien versus Predator is on Blu-ray. I think Alien is on Blu-ray. Well, you know what just came out on Blu-ray? Speaking of Blu-ray, they put out the entire, I'm going to say Jack Ryan collection with Hunt for Red October, Patriot Games, Clear and Present Danger, and The Sum of All Fears. I mean, they're all good movies.
I have something to tell you.
What's that? What?
I met the man that all those are patterned, all the true stories.
Oh, you told me you met that guy. Right.
I did. And you know what?
What?
He is about, I'm going to say 5'9", very plain looking, unassuming, maybe 5'10", but if you see him, you would think he's just the most mild-mannered little accountant guy or something. And
really?
He has more decorations and more awards from our government for service that people don't even know he's performed than any other human being.
Wow, that's impressive.
And he's so mild-mannered, and he's, like, so humble, it's true.
That's kind of cool. Well, I go ahead. I got to say this, though, about the Blu-ray, because I'm such a fan of Hunt for Red October, and if you see this on Blu-ray, I don't know if you remember that opening shot where you see
the sub going down,
and it opens up on, like, Sean Connery's, like, eyes. Mm-hmm. Close up on the screen, and I remember reading this review at the time, and it says they were giving the review of the opening film, and he says, and it's great, and it opens with a close up of Sean Connery's magnificently grizzled face. That's how they described it, man. I thought that was apropos, but it's just a great movie, and it looks fantastic on Blu-ray.
I've seen it a hundred times.
So it's a great movie.
Yeah, you know, so interesting question.
What's that?
Who do you think was a better Jack Ryan?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I think Alec Baldwin really missed the boat. I think that was like, you know, things that, you know, defining moments, turning points. I think he should have definitely continued.
I mean,
but I will say this. What?
I think Harrison Ford was really good.
No, well, exactly. I think Harrison Ford is great, and I didn't think it was that much of a stretch for him,
right?
Especially at the time, because there was a time, and it's funny, I was just recently watching, I watched Witness, and then I watched The Fugitive. Both great films.
I can watch them over and over again.
Films, and there was a time where Harrison Ford made nothing but hits. Hit after hit. Right. There was a good solid 20 years. You know? Everything was a hit.
Yep.
And it was only really after, I think, him and what's-her-name broke up, Melissa Matheson broke up, and he started doing all these sad movies, you know, where, you know, he's losing his memory.
But the last Indiana Jones wasn't sad.
Wife is dead.
It just sucked.
No, I like the last Indiana Jones. At least Harrison Ford
I thought it was gratuitous
fun.
Special effects. Just kind of, oh, this would be cool. And just
like
kind of lining them all up.
I
felt like the plot could have used a real kick.
You know, in The Hunt for Red October, I think it was something about his acting in that was so brilliant. You got into his head along with his thinking to try to figure it all out. And I just felt that, yeah, I think he did miss the boat on that by not, you know, continuing.
No, I definitely think he missed the boat. I think he was good. I think he gave I think he was the most interesting. Probably would have been the best choice if he continued making them. The Patriot Games, though, and Clear and Present Danger are both very solid movies. And Harrison Ford's very solid. They're both very good. They don't have Sean Connery in them. Okay, I'll admit that. But and I'll also say Some of All Fears. You know, Some of All Fears was a pretty good movie too. You know, Ben Affleck just, you know, to me, he may suffer from, you know, the. I'm forgetting the actor who did like a bazillion movies. British actor buddy? Alfie. He redid Alfie. Who am I thinking?
Yeah, he was in AI.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Help me, Valley. Too. Valley. Help me.
I'm trying to think of it. Pretend we don't care.
All right, anyway. Point is, he's another actor who I really like. I loved him in supporting roles. I thought he was brilliant in Gattaca. But then you put him in the lead and he's just. You know, like, I really like Ben Affleck in Shakespeare in Love. I thought it was
but
really good.
But sometimes it's so much, it's really as good. You know, the director. It's so frustrating.
Well, Ben Affleck made a bunch of movies that were just, you know, he was like the dim bulb. But I just think he just didn't challenge himself. But I thought Some of All Fears was pretty good. Jude Law, right, yeah. Jude Law, what I call the Jude Law effect. Jude Law, great-looking guy.
I really love Jude Law in Road to Perdition.
Right, he was great in Road to Perdition. Everything, whenever he's a supporting actor, he's great. So, there it is. I say, get it. The other thing that's interesting in Blu-ray, which is kind of amazing, and I have to say something else about Blu-ray. When you watch certain movies in Blu-ray, it's so sharp, it's better than it was when you saw it in the movie, because you're seeing more detail than you could ever see.
Right,
isn't that amazing?
It is, it is.
That is amazing.
It is, and so Beowulf is now, the director's cut is on Blu-ray. It's just amazing just to watch that film. Even if you didn't enjoy it, in which I think it's more like Conan than anything I've actually seen. What do you think? Do you think, like, if if all the Star Trek guys were still alive, they could start doing, like, super realistic animation and do Star Trek and just have new movies, new adventures, but it's all just, you know, like Final Fantasy type animation?
With the same, with the, you,
same cast.
Doing making that with the characters?
Yeah.
I love Star Trek, so I would probably
You'd probably go see it, of course.
But I think that anything is I love Star Trek. I mean, I just, you know.
So you're ready to go see this one this fall?
Yeah, I'm hoping, you know, I thought Dark Knight was brilliant. I hope that, you know, the reinventing of all these, you know, films that have come before is working. So,
did you see Shine a Light?
No.
It's on Blu-ray. So Blu-ray.
But I do think the Earth stood still. I saw the trailer. Doesn't look good.
What?
The Day the Earth Stood Still. I saw a trailer for it, and I don't know.
Day the Earth Stood Still. I don't know. I like Jennifer Connelly.
Yeah, no, she looks good in it, but
Keanu
I don't
know. Reeves, though.
Keanu Reeves.
You know, he has not picked one good science fiction film since The Matrix.
Right.
He's done like six of them.
Right.
What do you think? Well,
I don't know. I don't know.
He has a lot to live up to.
Sort of like Mark Hamill. It's like, you made that choice and then that choice.
Yeah. Like, wow, is that the same brain? Like,
was it a fluke?
You know what I watched the other day?
What?
I forgot how much I just loved it because I haven't seen it in years, but The Pope of Greenwich Village.
You know, I've never seen that film, but I have a friend who has written the official sequel that they're making with Mickey Rourke and, what's his name?
Eric Roberts.
They're raising the money.
You need
now.
To see that. I mean, I hope that.
I've never seen
it. You need to see the film again because it was.
I've never
filmed,
seen it to begin with.
It was filmed at Castle Hill and White Plains Road in Castle Hill, which is where I grew up, and the pizzeria where we used to go eat at. So it was like right. It was shot in my neighborhood, and it's, you know, the director that did, you know, Cool Hand Luke and so forth, it's just. I thought all his casting in that film was just so on the money, and led to a lot of great careers for all those guys, you know. And you had Geraldine Page in there, and Kenneth McMillan, and, you know, obviously Mickey Rourke and Eric Roberts. But I just watched it the other night, and I was just how much I loved it.
No, I haven't seen it.
You have to see it. He's, you know, the end of the film, he's like, I am the Pope of Greenwich Village right now, man. You have to see the scene. It's just, matter of fact, it was on twice. I watched it twice.
I'm a freak.
Chris,
gotta get a life. Help me.
You are.
No, no, no. Because sometimes you get a lot more out of it the second time. I had a professor.
I mean, I've seen it a million times.
I had a professor one time that said, whenever you have some type of entertainment thing, watch it one time and don't think. Just savor it, enjoy it, almost like warm bath water just washing over you. Then the second
almost
time, start to analyze.
Warm bath water.
Yeah, just
that
go with
your
it.
Quote. A date with you is like warm bath.
No, but you know, and then the second time you think about it more and you maybe get more into it and, you know, for us.
Val and I had a bad date. We didn't really have a date. We were walking down, you know, what was that street we were walking down? When I was walking you home. No, just kidding.
We've never had a bad date. All the dates with you have been great.
What was that brown town you were living in? What was that? That was like.
Hello, you're on the air.
Charlie, they took my thumb! Charlie, they took my thumb! See, Mike, they don't know what that means.
No, it's you and Jeff.
You know who was
in
it?
The
guy used to play Toma.
Hello.
Hello, I'm calling from New England.
You're calling from New England. How are you?
How nice.
My name is Bobby.
Bobby.
Okay.
Tony Short gave you a hard time about
where are you calling from?
New England, didn't she?
Oh, New London.
New London, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. I wanted to know if Valerie had her pussy licked really smooth.
And good night.
Luckily,
thank
I had
you.
I have my finger in the dump button.
Good job.
There it is. All right, but...
Everybody missed that, but...
A couple of movies that are coming out that I would recommend. First of all, I want to say, Mummy, Tomb of the Dragon Emperor, I saw the movie. I saw it in 3D. I never really got... Brandon Fraser. I never really got the whole charm of Brandon Fraser. I
think
felt
you have
like
to be a 16-year-old girl.
I don't know.
And I give him credit. He looks good. Yeah, George's Jungle, same thing. I don't get
my
that.
My sister said that's her favorite movie ever. She bought it, watched it 500 times just because she thinks understand. He's
we were amazed at how good he looked.
He looks great right now. I have to say he has a son, and he doesn't look like he's the father of the son. He looks like he and the son could be less than 10 years apart. So, but that being said, you know, Brandon Fraser has kept himself looking good for Brandon Fraser, but I just don't get it. He has this thing that he does, and that's what he does. He plays like this slightly doofy thing, and, you know. It doesn't seem like acting to me. And I did like him in those two films that he did. I liked him in Gods and Monsters, and I liked him in that Michael Caine film with the great score.
Right.
But...
Hey,
so.
You know, we never thought he
so,
would have a career.
That being said, Mummy 2 and Dragon Emperor, it's fun. It's got tons of special effects. It's got karate. It's got, you know, I don't know if there are actually any mummies in it, okay? But... It is what it is. Is it kind of watered down Spielberg? Okay, but so I never got it the first two. I saw them. I was like, whatever.
I know, man.
There's a movie out now. There's another movie out that's very good. I recommend called 66. I recommended it. I read some critics said it was very pedestrian. I thought it was fun. I thought it was cute. A cute movie about growing up, a little boy looking forward to his bar mitzvah and becoming a man. And
isn't the whole point to
really
entertain
good.
To
it's
establish
really
a dialogue
coming
with
of
the
age story? I recommend it.
The Yellow Screen.
Yep. Frozen River, of course, is very very good. Next week, or actually this Friday, I have to say, and I was going to play the interview, but I'm playing on Wednesday. I interviewed Seth Rogen and James Franco and Danny McBride and Rosie Perez. Today.
And I wasn't invited.
You weren't there. You weren't there.
Oh,
this was,
man,
this
Rosie
was
for Perez.
Rosie Perez. She looks great. And she's so funny. Like, I have to edit all her curses out. But Rosie Perez, and the movie is Pineapple Express, and it's you know, I'd seen the trailer, you know, okay.
The trailer and the billboard look like a just dud. I mean, they just look
that's
so...
That's what I... It looked like nothing, but I got to tell you, it's really funny. It's
Kevin
really
Corgan's
good.
Kevin Corgan's in that, Mike.
Yeah, Kevin Corgan's in it. It's fun. It's a fun movie. I was surprised at how good it was, how much I laughed, how much I enjoyed it. You don't have to be like a stoner to enjoy it, you know, or a pothead or anything. And I think, you know, and they said this in all their interviews, that's what they were aiming for, just to make a good movie that, you know, it's a fun premise, but it's not this.
It looks funny. It looks
it's
funny.
Really funny. It's really, you know, it does some stupidity, but it's really funny throughout. It's really funny, and there's just a lot of some inspired lunacy, I believe.
I like that.
That was my quote. All right, but anyway, so I recommend it. I recommend going to see it. I also saw a movie that I normally would never see, but I went to the premiere. And we were supposed to be giving away some tickets, but there's just things that happen here at BAI. But I went to the premiere of The Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants 2.
Oh, what did you think?
And you know what? I never saw Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants 1.
I liked it.
I never saw it. But, you know, it was good. It was fun. I heard that this is better than the first one.
Mm-hmm.
But it's fun.
I saw the first one.
You see, I never saw the first one. But it is. It's good.
It
it's
was
fun.
Good.
They're
first
all
one was inspiring.
They're all likable. They're all.
I thought from the title, I was stuck at someone's home and they were watching it and I thought, okay,
exactly
from this title I'm not expecting much
movie,
but they pulled it out. It was
yes,
good.
Yes, they did. Well, this I recommend, you know, especially if you got a tween, please bring it.
Right, that's what I'm thinking.
It's right in there for the tweens. Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, what's up?
Brooklyn
in the house. What's up?
Yep.
Do you have any bad dates you want to tell us about? Any really bad dates you've been on?
Yeah, Valerie didn't like them.
No, there it is. Valerie, you bring this out in certain men.
Was there anything?
You know, we have 2.5 perfs call on an average.
I know, sure. Mike, was it a round table or what did you do on the on that interview with Rosie Perez? Was it?
They paired them up. So you interviewed the duo. I interviewed Rosie and Danny McBride, and then I interviewed James Franco and Seth Rogen.
What was Seth Rogen like?
Just like he is on film.
Really?
Pretty much. Just a little more subdued, you know, with glasses on, you know.
He must be so happy, man.
He's
really,
26.
You know.
He's a multimillionaire. He's writing big budget comedies. He's going to be playing the Green Hornet next in a comedy version of the Green Hornet that he wrote with his partner. He's
I just watched Do the Right Thing like last week as well as Bad Lieutenant, which was another film I just had to watch twice. And I was just thinking about Rosie Perez and just wondering what she was doing these days.
Yeah, she's producing two films. She's in this film. She was just in another film. She's in the film with John Leguizamo called The Take earlier this year. She's doing a lot. She's doing very good. I asked her, you know, some questions that you would expect me to ask Rosie Perez. But if you tune in,
remember that day you saw her at the restaurant and you were like, you had to call me and you were like, oh my God, Chris, you're not going to believe you're standing in front of me. And I was like,
I know, you had your Rosie Perez thing. I called her.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, of course.
You're like, Rosie Perez, and I told you, what did I tell you to do?
I don't remember.
I said, go up to her and say, how you doing? Can you give
Is that what you told me?
An air
I probably
check.
Did not listen.
For night shift, and you wouldn't do it. You don't listen to me.
Give her an air check of night shift. Like, here's my radio show.
She's like, yeah, no, why? I said for you to go up and get her to do an air check.
Oh, you mean like, this is Rosie Perez, yeah.
Please give me an air check.
Station ID, it's called, you fool. And that was an episode from 2008 of Night Shift. And we've been celebrating 30 years of Night Shift. Night Shift's been on for 30 years. And I've been hosting with various co-hosts. And that was Valley and Chris. And we were taking calls. And we were asking people about dating and had dating stories. Right now I'm playing in the background some Ryuichi Sakamoto from his album Beauty, and this has been Night Shift, and you are tuned to Listener Sponsored Radio, WBAI 99.5 FM in New York and on the web at WBAI.org. Night Shift, where life continues to be like science fiction. Matter of fact, reality continues to be like science fiction. So hopefully you've enjoyed us telling you that this is what reality was now that you're fully on board.
Jabaram, 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 jabaram. Nena dukopaye, tarunaye, tarunaye. Mamla bino, nena dukopaye. Jabaram, 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 jabaram. Neno tu kopayi. Nitsa, 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 nits
ఇస్తారున్నాయి
Hi, this is Doug Wood from Green Street Radio. Every Tuesday morning here on WBA.